Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning to you all and Merry Christmas once again. I hope you're not getting tired of hearing that yet. You know, I was informed on the way to church this morning, we have five sleeps until Christmas. So I know December can feel so busy and full and so many celebrations and gatherings and parties and all that, that sometimes we start to hit this time of December and we can start to kind of lose a little momentum, right? Like you actually start to feel a little tired, and I really hope that's not the case for you because the best is still yet to come, right? We are 5 days away from getting to celebrate the birth of our Savior. So I hope that this season has just been a pleasure for your family and a good time of getting to celebrate. But as I talked about, you know, December can be a very full month, right? And you can probably look at your calendar when you started this month, and it's a little bit overwhelming. And it's full of all of these gatherings and all these things that we really want to do, and we get to see all these people that we really want to see, but sometimes it can just feel like a lot. But even though you kind of feel that way, you still love it when your friend reaches out to you and gives you an invite to something, right? Because it's really fun to be invited to something. Because every time you get an invitation, what that's saying is this person wants to be with you. They want you to celebrate with them. They want your presence at their special event. They want to get to be together with you. So there's something about an invitation that just kind of makes us feel good, right? Because it makes us feel thought of. It makes us feel like we get to be a part of that person's special day. Because we've also been on the flip side of that where we didn't receive the invitation. Right? Maybe you're the only one in your friend group who didn't get invited to that event. You didn't get invited to that special thing. And that is not a pleasant feeling, right? Because you start to ask yourself, well, what's wrong with me, right? Why wouldn't they want me to be there with them? Why wouldn't they want me also to enjoy this time with them? And you can start to really kind of feel upset about yourself and feel down. But whenever we have big events in life, we invite those we love. You know, shout out to Miss Rachel Klein. Yesterday, she graduated from Western Carolina with her accounting degree. Very fun. When you have a moment like that in life, you want to tell others. You want to spread just the exciting news about what has happened because you don't want these moments in life to pass and just be like, oh yeah, that happened. That was fine. You want to tell the world. You know, God is no different. God had an event, these thousands of years ago, God had an event that was a big deal. God had an event that he wanted the world to know about, and so what he did is God chose to send out invitations. God was sending his son to be born in this world, and he wanted the world to share in the joy of this event. As you think about that, who would God send an invitation to? What kind of people would God invite to his special event? Who would God want to celebrate with? This morning, we're going to look in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to see this story. So I encourage you, if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have one, there's some in the pew that we will have the verses on the screen, but it's kind of a long passage we're going to read this morning. But as we think about the Christmas story, I know it's a very familiar story, and it's one that it's easy to allow the extraordinary message to become very ordinary in our lives. It's easy to allow the reality that God would invite us as people to something to just be something that kind of passes us by. But my hope today, as we study this text in Luke chapter 2, is as we look at God inviting the world to his special event, we want to see, what does that teach us about God? And then secondarily, what does that teach us about ourselves as people? So Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Father, I pray today as we come to this familiar story that, Father, you would help us in these moments, the moments of busyness and the moments of our minds being full of things to do. I pray, Father, that we would just stand here and be awed by who you are. That we would not take lightly this reality, God, that you are sending an invitation to this world to be a part of something so incredibly special. Father, I pray that this moment, this morning of celebrating and studying the birth of your Son would just capture our hearts and fuel us for the days and weeks ahead. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for including this story for us so that we could study it and learn more about you and about ourselves all these years later. Father, I pray if there is one here who does not know you, if there is one here who is struggling in their relationship to you, Father, I pray that they would see your outstretched hand in front of them today, Father, your invitation to them. Pray you guide our study in the word. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, just to go back and give you a little bit of context of where we are and what we've been studying these last few weeks, thousands of years before this event, this story really began. Because before this story ever started, before we get to this point in our story, we have a lot of history of God promising his people that one day he would send them a rescuer. Because God, when he created the world, he created people, and as people, we rebelled and we rejected God. And as a result, in our rebellion against God, we have drove God away. We've pushed God away. We said, we don't want you to be part of our lives. We want to do life without you. But God, even in this state when we're rejecting him and pushing him away, God remained faithful. And throughout generations and generations, God continued to promise the people, one day I will send a rescuer. One day I will send one who will break down this separation that's dividing us. And once again, God will be with his people. But for generation and generation, they waited and they waited and they waited with hope, thinking maybe this is the child who God has talked about. But it wasn't them. And so for generation and generation, we see God faithfully working behind the scenes. And finally, our story comes to this point right here, towards this young, poor, rural, teenage couple. This couple that nobody would have recognized, this couple that didn't stand out as unique, this couple that was just another couple in this long line of people. But it was this faithful couple, Mary and Joseph, that God chose to use to send his son into the world. It was this couple who would welcome God's rescuer that the world had waited for so long. And we saw last week, God did this in a very miraculous way. We know the story of Christmas that Mary was a virgin. She had never been with a man, and yet somehow she became pregnant. Now, that's a very hard miracle for our world to accept. Right? We're logical, scientific people, and we understand this whole idea, and that just doesn't happen. But as we think about God and we read stories about God throughout the Bible, do you know that God kind of performs this type of miracle a lot of times? Throughout Scripture, we see over and over God breathing life into a place where there once was no life. You think of the dry bones that Ezekiel saw. He saw these dry bones, and God said, "Man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "Well, Lord, if you say they could, they could." And God brought life to that which was once dead. We see the story of Jesus and his friend Lazarus. Lazarus had died and was in the tomb. And Jesus walked to that tomb, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And once before there was only death, now there was life. And we see in Jesus himself, after he grew and he was crucified, he went into the grave, but he too came back to life. And where there was once death, life now reigned again. So we see this is how our God operates. God brings life into the place where there once was only death and emptiness. And so once again, in this story, after generations of waiting, God did the miraculous and he breathed life into this dead womb, but this life was different. He breathed the life of God himself. This child who would be born, who is fully man and yet fully God, now in the care of this teenage couple. So you think, Mary and Joseph, here they are. They're far from home. They're lying in this sheep pen, in this manger. They don't have anything to care for this baby. They've experienced a lot of miraculous events in the past weeks of their life. They have to be thinking, what in the world is going to happen next? What do we do now? Right? For those of you who have had the privilege of being parents, you remember that feeling of you have this child, and all of a sudden they tell you, now you get to leave the hospital, and this baby goes with you, and you're like, what do we do, right? We don't feel ready for those moments. How do you think Mary and Joseph felt in this moment of saying, God incarnate is ours to care for? What in the world do we do? And so they're sitting there. I'm sure they're flooded with emotions. And at this moment, God steps in. At this moment, God sends his invitation, but he does it to this strange group of people. And I want us to think about this invitation, and what do we learn about God in the midst of it? And so you see in verses 8 and 9, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So here in this moment, this newborn baby is born. God is sending his invitation, but he chooses to do it to the most unlikely group. Right? We know the idea of shepherds. Shepherds were not people that were thought of very highly in that culture, right? It's not like they were completely hated or something, but they were kind of the outcasts of society. They were the lower class. They were the people who didn't have a lot of education. They didn't have a lot of future. They didn't have a lot of money. They just, you know, they probably stank because they lived out in the fields a long time. They probably were a little quirky because they didn't spend a lot of time in society and with people. They were just kind of outsiders. Now, if God was going to send an invitation to his event, this is a strange group of people to pick, right? You would think God would choose the miraculous. God would choose the grand, the marvelous, the kings, the people with prestige and honor. But he chose the shepherds. So what do we learn about God from this? That God uses people that we would not expect. And regardless of our stories, regardless of our histories and our past, God invites people like us. Now, what's fascinating about these shepherds, there were in the same country living these shepherds, right? So these shepherds were just a little bit away from the most miraculous event in the history of the world, and they had no idea. Isn't that something to think about? God himself could be born in your town, and you're just sitting on the field, and it's just another day. If God hadn't made this invitation known, if he hadn't told the people, these shepherds would have had a normal night. But God wanted the world to know the reality of what had just happened. And so, in this invitation, he tells these shepherds a story. He tells them what happened. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, so as he comes with an invitation, he tells the shepherds, he sends this angel messenger, right? A very loud invitation, a very prominent invitation, one that would be hard to miss. And one that we saw kind of brought a little bit of fear, right? That would be an alarming invitation to receive. But the message he brings to the people is this story about what just happened. On this day, a Savior was born. Now, we read the word Savior and we automatically think of Christ. We think of being saved from our sins. These shepherds wouldn't have thought that necessarily. This idea of a Savior was a term that was used in a lot of ways. Whenever a new emperor would be born, they would make this proclamation, a Savior has been born. Because in their mind, a Savior was somebody who could rescue us from things like poverty and oppression and struggle. But this Savior is different. This day, a Savior is born, but this Savior is Christ, the Lord. You see, this isn't a Savior who's just here to rescue you from your poverty and your brokenness and your hopelessness. This is the one who we have waited for generation and generation. This is the rescuer who is here not to save us from our earthly problems, but to redeem us from our problem of pushing God away. And so this Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the one whom God has chosen, this is the one who was born this day. But he doesn't stop there by just telling them what happened. He also tells them, this is how you can know that this is true. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So you see, in this interaction here between the angel and the shepherds, the angel didn't answer every question that they had. Right? They probably wanted to know, well, what's this Savior like? How's he going to rescue us? What makes him unique? How's he going to fix my problems? You see, the angel didn't deliver answers to those kind of questions. He just simply said, this is where you could find him. This is what he would look like. And so we see here the angel is inviting them to kind of the next step of this journey. But as we look at this invitation, it's really also important we recognize what's not here. What do we not see in this invitation? We don't see the angel telling them, you have to go, right? God didn't send this angel to say, go tell these shepherds, they better get up right now and get down there and worship my son. He didn't say that, but he did invite them. He invited them what to do, where to go. He told them where they would find him, but he never said, you have to go. See, he didn't say, if you don't get up and go, I'm going to send some wild animal in and kill all your sheep, and I'll probably kill you too, and if you better get up and do it, right? God didn't threaten these shepherds. He didn't scare them into going, but he did invite them. It also, he doesn't put a lot of pressure on them, does he? He doesn't say, look, I'm going to invite you guys, but you're a small group. If you don't go out and start telling the world what you've heard, then my whole plan's probably going to fail. The whole world's not going to hear it, and you're going to be the only ones. You're going to mess up everything I'm trying to do, and this would all be your fault. He doesn't do that. Instead, he simply tells them, this is what happened, this is how you can know, and if you want to be a part, this is where to go. So what do we learn about God through this? That God invites, he does not force. As we think about the Christmas message, this is the message that God wants us to see. I am inviting you to something very, very special, but I'm not going to force you to come. God still operates in this same way today. God did a miraculous things in the lives of these shepherds, but they had a choice. They had a choice to respond or they had a choice to reject it. You see, in the same way today, God does not force us to submit to him as his creator, but he does invite us to trust him and to trust that he knows best how we should live. He doesn't force us to admit that we're sinful people, but he does invite us to accept the message of salvation that is found through this rescuer. He doesn't force us to live lives for his purposes and for his glory, but he does invite us to live a life of abundance that only comes by living as he has asked us to live. You see, God invites. He doesn't force, he doesn't scare, he doesn't threaten. He sends an invitation and says, you are welcome to come if you want to be a part. But this open invitation does not mean that God does not care how we respond. It doesn't mean that God's aloof and just kind of like, oh, I'll throw it out there, and if they show up, fine. If not, I don't really care. God wants the world to respond. And we know that because look at how radically he sent this invitation, right? One angel was enough to get this message across, right? One angel is probably sufficient. But instead, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, when God invites, he does it in grand ways. Now, when I was in high school and we wanted to invite a girl to prom, we would just go up and be like, do you want to go to prom with me? She'd be like, yeah. You know, it was pretty simple back in the day. Today, that's not the case, right? High schoolers today have it a lot harder because there's this thing called a promposal, right? And y'all high schoolers know what I'm talking about. Promposals are a big deal. Because if you want to invite a girl to prom now, you don't just get to go up and just nonchalantly be like, you want to come. You better come up with something good, right? You need a grand invitation. You need Jeremy singing on the guitar or something. You need the signs. You need the lights. You need something that just radically communicates the depth of your desire for this girl to accompany you. Because if you don't do it and the next guy shows up, she's going with the guy who did the promposal, right? See, when we want to invite somebody to something, it's different by just saying like, if you want to come, you can come. And coming to them and saying, do you understand what's happening? Please don't miss this. This is huge. I need you to be here with me. Which attitude do we see being communicated from God? He could have just said, my son's down there. Maybe somebody will find him. Maybe Mary's screaming will be loud enough that somebody will come check on her. Instead, he sends the host of angels to fill the sky singing his praises because he wants the world to respond. Now, if you were to get an invitation and it just said, show up Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, that invitation would be a little scary. Right? I don't know. Maybe you're the kind of person who's like, oh, this is going to be exciting. Maybe you're the kind of person who'd be like, there's no way. I am not showing up at 6 o'clock because I don't know what they're asking me to do. You see, when God sent his invitation, he also told us what he's inviting us to. God's invitation is an invitation to peace and joy. Throughout this text, we see this is the message that he has for us. This is far more than just a simple birth announcement of him wanting to show off his son. He's doing it for a reason. Verse 10 and verse 14, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, the invitation that he's offering us is an invitation to a life full of joy. Now, how does this joy come about in our lives? It comes about because the birth of Jesus Christ offers us peace with God. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy. It doesn't mean if we accept this message that everything will be just roses forever. But it does mean accepting this invitation means that I can have peace with the God of the universe. And if I have that, I can walk through the ups and downs of life and still experience joy. This is what God is inviting us to. It's not a life of drudgery and sacrifice and just missing out. Sometimes we think of the Christian life in that way, but that is not the message of Christmas. It's a message of joy and peace. But there's another piece of this that we need to see, that this invitation is to you. It's not just to the world. It's not just to the good people. It is to you. I think it'd be really cool if we could have a slide that would just really quickly take out the word you and put your name in there and roll through everybody in this room. That's the heart of what God is communicating in Christmas. This message and this invitation is for you. Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you, shepherd, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David was born for you, who is Christ the Lord. Don't miss this reality. God sent his son to save the world, but God sent his son to invite you into a relationship of peace with God. So this invitation teaches us a lot about God. It teaches us that he is a good creator who wants us to receive the joy and the peace that comes from his rescuer. He wants us to be a part of his family. But it also teaches us a lot about ourselves and about people. And we see that in the response of the shepherds. So this week I spent some time just thinking, how do shepherds see the world? And so to try to kind of put myself in that place, I went outside, and as many of you know, I live next to this beautiful farm, right? Beautiful piece of property. It's got flat pasture lands, and it's got hills and trees, and it's got flowing brooks, and just a beautiful area. And for some reason, I know Mike doesn't like this, it's almost Christmas time, but it was like 60-some degrees and sunny outside this week. So I went outside, and I just sat down on the hill. And I was pondering on this text right here and just watching. I was just watching the field, and I thought, you know, this is not all that different from what the shepherds were doing. They're standing here in this field, and they're just watching. As I sat there, you know, in just a few minutes I was there, I started to just recognize things. You know, I could see the trees. I heard the sounds. I recognized different things. Now, if I did that every day of my life, night and day, I would know that piece of property very well. I would know every tree on that place. I would know every sound that is safe and every sound that is dangerous. I would know anything that's a little bit out of the ordinary. Well, that's what's true of the shepherds, right? These shepherds, every day, every night, they're in the field with their sheep. They knew what to look for. They knew what was normal. They knew what was scary. They understood what this place should look like. And so as I started thinking about that, I started thinking, I think shepherds were probably people who were pretty comfortable with the familiar, right? They liked the places that they knew. They liked the sounds that they knew. They liked the scenery that didn't change because they felt comfortable. They felt in control. They felt secure. It was familiar. See, that's a good day for a shepherd. When you could sit out in your field and nothing happens. That's the day you would get home and be like, that was a wonderful day. Absolutely nothing happened. Because see, if you're a shepherd and you have an exciting day, what's that mean? It means some wild animal's trying to kill your sheep when you're out there having to fight a bear or something, right? That's not a great day. Or it means that you're having to wander around the woods trying to find your sheep that have wandered away. Or it means you heard the sound of a sheep who was in distress and you had to run over there and do some emergency thing to save that animal, right? That's not good stuff. So I think these shepherds were people who really just like the ordinary. They like the comfortable. They like the predictable. And that probably kind of describes most of us in life as well, right? We just like what's comfortable. We like a day that's just kind of normal. Nothing rocked the boat. I woke up knowing what to expect, and the day went just how I expected it. For most of us, that would be a wonderful day. But here you have these shepherds. You have this ordinary night. A night just like all the others, just a boring night of sitting there counting sheep. And all of a sudden, everything changed. In one moment, the ordinary became extraordinary. They were in the same field. They were talking to the same people. They're having the same conversations. But in this one moment, everything changed. The ordinary conversations of the shepherds was now a message from God himself. The ordinary sky that they looked at every night was now a place full of the display of God's majestic host. Everything had changed. Now, if the shepherds are like us, maybe we see an extraordinary event and we'd be like, man, that was pretty weird. I got to sit down and think about that. I need to sit down and come up with a logical explanation for what the heck I just saw. Let's sit down and talk this out and figure out what should we do now that the angel just told us that. Right? Now, if that's how the story went, we would stop and be like, what are you doing? You are missing out on the most extraordinary thing that God is inviting you to, and you're just going to sit down and just be like, that was weird. If the angels did that, we would think that they're crazy. And yet, as we actually think about our lives, do you realize how often we do that? The Bible tells us that the world is full of God's glory. What that means is that God's handiwork is on everything that we see. We may not hear today this audible message from an angel inviting us to come worship the King, but all around us in a creation, we have fingerprints of God's inviting hand. And yet, you know what we do? We don't see that and just be awed by what's happening. We see it and be like, I've seen that 1,000 times. That's just normal. The extraordinary all of a sudden becomes very ordinary in our lives. See, this is something that happens very easily for us as people. And even as we celebrate the Christmas season, do you kind of sense that happening to you sometimes, right? The extraordinary beauty of Christmas and the message of what this means and just the joy of this season, it's just another holiday to kind of get through. The extraordinary message of Christmas just becomes an ordinary thing that we do with our lives. That is a sad place to be. But as people who like the comfortable and the predictable and the routine, oftentimes we find ourselves in that very place. And so for a few minutes now, I want to just to focus in on the response of the shepherds, because this is very, very instructive for us. Because I think all of us would say, we don't want to be people who miss the extraordinary. We don't want to be people who miss the magnificence of what God is doing, but yet we feel ourselves doing it. How do we avoid that trap? Now, as we look at the response of the shepherds, this is very instructive on how we do not allow the extraordinary events of God to pass us right by and miss it. But look at how they responded. Verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, maybe I'm just a cynical person, but sometimes when I read this, I read it so seriously. Like the shepherds are there like, "Let us now go down to Bethlehem and to see this thing which has come to pass," right? Like we read it like they're really just like thinking. These guys were flipping out, all right? I'm pretty sure that that's in there somewhere. There's something that has happened in their life that this is not like this logical, like let's really just think carefully about this. These guys, they know our lives have just been changed. But what we see here, if we don't want to be people who miss the extraordinary, this is a very simple thing. The first thing that they did, they responded to the invitation to come and see. They could have just sat back down and be like, you know what? It'd be fun to go to Bethlehem, but something might come kill our sheep. It'd be fun to go to Bethlehem, but it's been a long day and I'm tired. They could have come up with a lot of reasons not to get up and go, but they did choose to go. So if we want to not miss the extraordinary things that God is doing, it starts out by choosing to respond to his invitation to come and see. Now, what does that mean? That means in our day, slowing down enough to actually see what God is doing. It means recognizing, God, you are doing something. You're inviting me to be a part of something. You're inviting me into this relationship with you. I'm going to choose to just kind of come and see. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to come and see. But without that first response, the shepherds could have gone on and their life would have been unchanged. That would have been a very tragic thing. Don't be that person. Don't be the person who God has shown up to and reached out to and invited personally, and you reject that invitation. The next thing we see, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So they show up. They knew what to look for, and they got there, and it was just as they had been told. So what do we learn from that? If we don't want to be people who miss out on the extraordinary, we have to actually experience the truth of the invitation. And here's what I mean by that. It's one thing to know that I've been invited. It's one thing to know, hey, God wants you to have an abundant life full of joy and peace. It's another when you start to experience the truth of that reality in your life. When you start to see God actually working in your life in such a way to bring that about, that is a radically different reality. And so what does that mean for us? What would it look like for us to experience the truth of God's invitation in your life? It requires you to kind of take a risk. Because maybe you've heard stories about what God is doing in somebody's life. Maybe you need to ask them a question. Why are you acting this way in this situation? Maybe you know that what you need to do in your Christian faith is to be willing to plug a little bit more into God's family called the church. Be willing to allow yourself to be known by other people. Be willing to allow other people to speak truth into your life. That's a scary step, but that's what it means to experience the truth of this invitation. It's one thing to know this invitation's floating out there. It's another thing to say, you know what? I don't know that I'm fully in, but I'm gonna allow this to circulate in my mind and to be a part of my life and to see what this is really all about. But if we aren't willing to do that, we're gonna miss out on the extraordinary that's happening around us. Next, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child, and all who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Now, this is an amazing part of the story. Here are these shepherds who were the invited ones. They are now sending out the invitation. Do you see this? These shepherds who really didn't have very significant lives, probably didn't have a lot of hope for the future, probably didn't expect their lives to really be important, they were now getting to share this invitation from God himself to the rest of the world. Now, when we become people who have experienced God's invitation, what's normal is we start to share that invitation with other people. Because it's become so real in our life that we can't help to share what we have been told, what we have experienced, what we have seen. You're not having to reinvent the wheel here. You're simply sharing what you have heard and been told and experienced. These shepherds have absolutely no business proclaiming to the world a message from God. And yet God invited them to do just that. Think about how much that would have changed their world. You see, when we start to think in this way, when we start to think about how do I pass on this invitation to other people, do you know what it forces us to do? It forces us to stop and slow down and just think. What is it that I need to share about my experiences to help this person? How do I reach this individual and encourage them with God's invitation in their life? You know, if we never get to this point of loving and serving others and passing on what we have heard, we're missing out on a whole lot. Because it's just about what we're experiencing. And when it's only about what we're experiencing, there's a lot that's passing us right by. But when we are humble enough to say, God, I am trying to pass on your message to the world. Show me, open my eyes, reveal to me, make it real, make it known. God will do just that. And so these shepherds began to simply pass on what they had heard. But this next idea really has stood out to me this week. After this experience, they were there with the baby. The shepherds returned. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. What do you do after this experience as a shepherd? Sometimes it means you go back to shepherding, right? They had just had this extraordinary life-changing event, and yet they had to go back and continue living kind of their ordinary, normal, routine life. But you know what's beautiful about this? They went back to normal life, but life was not the same. So what do we learn about this idea? Live your life, but live it with purpose. See, throughout church history, there was this idea that when I've experienced God in a really unique way, that means I need to go live out in a cave somewhere and just remove myself and really isolate myself. That's not what the shepherds did. They returned to their normal world, but as they returned, they lived very differently. So how is this church going to actually help change this county? How does God reach the world with a message of his invitation to the gospel message? It's when you and I, very ordinary people, live very ordinary lives, but we do it with purpose. This means the way we live at home, the way we live at work, the way we interact with our sports teams, the way we coach our kids, the way we go to the grocery store, it's all on purpose. God is still calling us to do the ordinary daily routines of life, but he's asking us to do it with intentionality and purpose. That is how this world is changed. And that is what gives such meaning to the ordinary things that we go through. That's how we don't miss the extraordinary things that God is doing every day of our lives. Because when we're living with purpose, we're going to slow down and we're going to see it. So life may feel ordinary, but every moment is an opportunity. So as we think about this message and think, what did we learn? We saw that the God of this universe is a kind and gracious King who is inviting us to a life of joy and peace. I really hope just in this moment that you would just quiet your hearts and allow that reality to speak to you. That the God of the universe is inviting you. He wants you. He wants you to experience the joy and the peace that he has. This is for you. Do not let this invitation just pass you by and leave you unchanged. And for those of you who are pursuing the Lord in your life, I hope that we are not people who miss the extraordinary reality of this Christmas season. And I hope that on January 26th and the 27th and the 28th, as we're putting away Christmas decorations, that this is not a season that we just stop on till next year, but that we live every day in light of this miraculous reality. So I hope that you all accept the invitation to come and see and to experience the truth of God's invitation and to pass that invitation on to others and to live in the ordinariness of life with great purpose. That is what Christmas is all about. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray that even in these quiet moments, Father, if there's any out there who just don't feel like they are worthy because of their past or their history or just for whatever reason, God, maybe they feel like this invitation is not to them. Father, I pray that you would speak to their heart right now. I pray, Father, they would be willing to trust that, God, you, the God of the universe, longs for them. God, you long for every person in this room and every person who ever hears this message, every person who ever understands your word, every person that you've ever created. God, you long for them to have peace with you. We thank you for the gift of your Son who makes that peace possible. We thank you for the rescuer who has come to redeem us from our hopelessness and our brokenness. Father, we thank you for the extraordinary ways that you communicate your love to us in this world. Father, forgive us for the times that we miss it. Father, help us to be people who do not miss the extraordinary glory of your hand. Thank you for the beauty of this season, Father. Thank you for all that it represents. Thank you for the opportunities that it gives us to interact with others. May we be people who pass on your invitation to this world who desperately needs it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.